So I'd like to welcome Rose Robinson, who is, do you want this or not?
Nope.
Going to lead us in our thinking this morning. Let's pray for Rose and for ourselves. Father, we thank you that you teach us to pray. We thank you that you know how we are made because you made us. And we ask that you'd speak clearly through Rose this morning, that we might hear and understand your word afresh to us today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you.
Lord, teach us to pray. I wonder if someone asked you what your prayer life was like, how you would answer. Do you feel like you're in good communication with God? How much time do you actually spend talking to and listening to him? Last week we heard about Martha and Mary. Are we too busy and distracted with all that needs to be done, like Martha, that we don't take time to sit at Jesus's feet like Mary? Do we not make that our first priority, out of which our actions flow? Maybe some of us who've been Christians for a while take God for granted, as you might with a long-term marriage partner or friend. Or do we continue to value the incredible privilege of an open channel of communication with the Creator of the universe, who so deeply loves us? Boldly approach the eternal throne, confident to draw near through the blood of Christ Jesus. And through our quality conversations with him, continue to grow in our relationship with him, tuning our ability to hear from him as well as to speak to him, so his amazing love transforms and equips our lives. So today's passage, you've got to think back a little bit in this service, begins, this is Luke 11, with one of Jesus' disciples having watched Jesus at prayer saying, "Lord, teach us to pray." Presumably he saw the quality of the conversation that Jesus had with his Father. Being divine did not mean Jesus didn't need to pray, to chat with his dad, to share their plans and thoughts and concerns. Their relationship was so close that Jesus could say, "I and the Father are one. The Father knows me and I know the Father. The Son can do nothing by himself, only what he sees his Father doing." Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. How does Jesus respond? Well, first, he teaches them and us the world-renowned Lord's Prayer. I wonder how many times this prayer has been said across the world. When you pray, say, "Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." This is the shorter version in Luke, and some people think the longer version in Matthew 6 and in the other manuscripts, in the footnotes, has been added from the liturgy of the early disciples that they used in worship. But let's unpack the shorter version a little bit. First of all, Jesus tells us to call God Father. The God who created and sustains the universe and holds it in his hands, who's the beginning and end of all things, the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving one. My Father, your Father. I pray we never lose the immensity of that, because central to all our praying is who we think God is. That he's not someone distant who doesn't care. And if you don't have a good father image because of your own parents, it might be harder to understand this God, our perfect father, what he's like, because no human father is perfect. But we are praying to someone who wants to be intimately involved in our lives. He wants to provide for us and protect us. He wants us to know his incredible love. He wants to nurture us. He wants to help us mature and develop to be the best people we can be. He's got perfect plans for our lives and for the whole of his creation. And he also, as in Jesus' story of the runaway son, when we do mess up and go astray and wander off and squander all he's given us, he just waits day after day after day for us to return. And if we make any movement back, he runs towards us, throws the best robe around us, puts a ring of belonging as heir of the king's on our finger, and throws a party for us. This is who we pray to. Hallowed be his, your name. The message puts that as reveal who you are. It's always faith building and appropriate in our prayer to begin with honouring God, grateful, appreciative of who he is and all he's done. Your kingdom come, the kingdom of the King of love, and we his children and heirs who live in his ways of peace and goodness, holiness and joy. His life and his love flowing through us, the very best kingdom, the very best for his and our world, his reign and his rule over all. Then we come to needs. Give us each day our daily bread. The message says keep us alive with 3 square meals. Young children don't hesitate to ask their parents to supply their needs. They cry to be fed and loved and protected. As we get older, hopefully we learn more of an attitude of gratitude, more appreciation of the giver, more awareness of the needs of others. Not always me first, my needs fulfilled. But we are still flesh and blood, and we need sufficient for today, every day. And God delights to give it. For those who don't have enough, this prayer's not just empty words. It's urgent. It's a deep, heartfelt cry. Imagine those trying to feed malnourished children. They know this is life and death, this sentence. For those of us who've got too much, frankly, we often forget we're all constantly dependent on God's goodness to us. The verb tense in Greek is continuous, asking God to give every day. Let's not take God's lavish provision for granted, not hoard, but trust God daily and share our excess. It's low risk giving to hoard so we can supply just our own needs. Perhaps if we did ask every day, it would remind us not to take God's provision for granted. Perhaps we could notice that the prayer says, give us our daily bread, not give me my daily bread, and join God as his children in being part of the answer to that prayer and reflect God's extravagant generosity as we give to others from our excess. When Jesus fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, there was 12 baskets left over. Praise God for bags of hope and food bank, which provide us with opportunities to show God's love. Praise God for charities across the world that haven't forgotten the plight of the needy, through whom we can channel gifts to feed the hungry. Lord, teach us to pray. Forgive us our sins. Let go of them. Dismiss them. That's vital, that clean slate, which means we can relate freely to our Father. No barriers, nothing separating us from his love, nothing blocking our communication. We can start again afresh. Thank God for the blood of Jesus shed to do that. And as we forgive those who sin against us, this second word for sin is actually different in the Greek. It's more about those indebted to us. Forgive those who owe us something. I wonder what that might mean for each of us in terms of how and who we need to forgive. Maybe I've given love to someone and it's not been returned. Maybe I've helped someone and received no thanks. Do I become bitter, offended, hurt? Or do I freely forgive as I've been freely forgiven? Lead us not into temptation. Perhaps there's the sense here of don't bring us to the time of trial. It's a strong tense here. It's almost saying don't even think about leading us to the time of trial, of testing at the end. And maybe that's because we'd all perish in the judgment at the end if it was based on our track record. Thankfully, Jesus saves. He wants us to know he saves, and that the enemy will not win in our lives if we turn to Christ. We have eternal victory in Jesus' death and resurrection. There's so much to say about the Lord's Prayer. You can find books on it. Moving on, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus loved to use stories because stories got to the parts that other words can't reach. Sounds like the famous beer. They touch our imagination, our hearts. They're more easily remembered and they're more effective, therefore, in gently transforming us. They bypass our resistance and for some of us, the great levels of analysis we're tempted to do and speak to us directly. So a story. A friend comes at midnight and bangs up a person who with his family is already settled in bed. I don't know what you're like if you've had a really long week or a really long day and you've just sat down to eat or to watch the TV or to chat to someone or to read a book or whatever you do to relax and the phone rings and you know it's someone that's going to need something. Maybe we say a big sigh and ignore it to start with. But maybe if they persist, we pick it up and we talk to them and we help them. Why did we respond? Well, maybe a bit grudgingly, because they persisted, because they were bold. The word in this translation that Martin picked up earlier can be translated because of their shameless audacity. They were prepared to persevere. I wonder what makes us persevere when we initially get a negative response or no response. Is it that we desperately need what we're asking for? Is it that we know the character of the person we're asking for? We know their generosity and their love, and we know they'll give if we keep on going, even if it costs them themselves. We have faith in the giver. Jesus is often frustrated by human beings' faithlessness and lack of belief. There's a story when he comes down from the transfiguration on the mountain to a man with a child who's constantly having seizures and falling into the water. And his disciples have not managed to heal this child. And Jesus declares, "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation." He wants us to realize we have the power to heal and help others. And where he does see faith, Jesus regularly commends it and says the faith has resulted in an answer, in a healing, in a miracle. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. A friend of mine once sent those verses to me in a card after she'd become a Christian, saying she had done just what those verses said and found God. Lord, teach us to pray. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Jesus loves to shock with the analogies he uses. I know how much my husband delights to give to our son. His pleasure at answering his requests, often anticipating before he even asks. Even though we as human beings are evil compared to God's love, we do give because we do love and we give generously. We might not have God's depth of love and complete self-sacrifice, but we give. So will we always get yes answers to our prayers? Would you always give your children or friends what they asked for? If we really love, we make judgments if something is best for a child or a needy friend. But we have to say there are times when we bang on God's door for something that surely appears good, but we don't receive it. This is beyond our understanding. There aren't any easy, trite explanations for why God would allow a mother of five children to die, for why he would allow someone to remain in terrible suffering, for why he doesn't always give us things that appear great that we've asked for. A friend of mine recently reminded me of David Watson's book, Fear No Evil. So many people prayed for David, apparently with deep faith for his healing, but he did not recover. We're grateful for Caitlin's example that, you know, it's been hard work for that family, but they recognised God standing with them and walking with them and answering prayer. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane pleaded with his Father to have the cup of suffering taken away from him, but he had to drink it because he died for us. He endured the cross for the joy set before him. It was for our greater good that he did so. Sometimes it's really hard to see what the greater good could possibly be when we're left suffering or get no apparent answers. But somehow, as we walk with God, we learn to trust the eternal goodness of our loving Heavenly Father, who works all things to the good for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Lord, teach us to pray. So what do we ask our loving Heavenly Father for? The fact that he sometimes says no shouldn't stop us asking, believing that he can, he would, he will give us what we ask for, if it's right and best for us and his kingdom. We've certainly seen some amazing answers from God in this fellowship, and I know many of you have got incredible testimonies of how God has answered your prayers. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? One minute we're talking about the ordinary everyday things of life in Jesus' time, fish and eggs, and the next minute we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Whoa, how did we get there? I think that's quite a sudden movement. I think that's phenomenal. Surely the Holy Spirit is the most amazing thing, or rather the most amazing person we can ask for. Our comforter, our guide, the Spirit of truth who guides us into all truth, who reminds us of the words of the Father and the Son and gives glory to Jesus. Streams of living water that flow from within us, life-giving, the seal that guarantees our eternal inheritance, our everlasting connection with God the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit in the amazing kingdom of God. Our enabler, he fills us with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. He equips us to live life to the full, giving us gifts, teaching, hospitality, tongues, leadership, service, encouragement, giving, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, etc. He builds the body of Christ by living in us. He enables us to witness to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And through us, he convicts the world of their need of Jesus. And that through him, Jesus alone, we have victory over all the works of the evil one. The Holy Spirit, what a gift. So Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us what to ask for. Teach us to enjoy the amazing relationship that you offer us with you. Teach us that we can have the greatest gift of all, God himself dwelling in and with us, closer than we think you are. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Teach us to walk close to you and live in you and through you and in constant communication with you, to ask for all you want us to ask for, believing in faith we'll receive it. Especially teach us to ask for your Holy Spirit. Lord, teach us to pray.